Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Thanks for joining us today as we do the last day of this interesting article on Orcas Island. This is Peng Menghui, Doris Rome, and we also have with us in our class
Amanda
and Brian.
Thanks for being with us as we continue the third day of our travel article. You know, students love our travel articles, don't they?
They do, because I think it makes them excited about where they could travel in the world.
Well, it makes me excited just reading about the places, too. What about you?
Very excited. Actually, I wouldn't mind going here sometime. So, Doris, you need to take me there.
I'd like to take you there. Wouldn't that be fun if we could take some of our friends with us?
It would be fun to explore there and to take the ferry.
Mm. Well, there's so many interesting places to go all over the world. It's hard to know where to go. But it's nice if you go on some kind of a business trip or seeing your family that you take a little side trip and keep the magazines in hand and say, I want to go here sometime. If you're going to visit somebody in Seattle or even in New York, you can stop off in Seattle. The plane stop there and then carry on. So try to plan this in with your other trips. I don't think you're going to go all the way from Asia over here to San Juan, but if you're going to be in the States anyway, why not stop off at the San Juan Islands?
That's right. It's so close to Seattle. Why not?
Right. And you can see into Canada. You don't have to go there, but you can look right into Canada from there.
And perhaps at that point you're wanting to get away from the city into something a little bit more natural, and here's a place that you can do that.
And maybe you don't even know how nice it is to be in one of these beautiful places where there's sheep and deer and birds singing and wildflowers and the ocean. Oh, it's a beautiful place.
It's a beautiful place, and there's also people there, unique people. In our first day, we learned that each village has its own personality, so a lot to see.
That's right. If you go there, you'll probably want to go there more than once. And our article started on, what, page 12, and we're soon we're going to be doing page 14. But the beginning, we just had a little introduction on where the place is. But there's lakes there, there's parks, there's bikes. What else can you do? Horseback ride?
Horseback riding, and of course, a lot of trails to hike.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of things to see, and just going to these little villages and having lunch there. And they have other things besides pizza. They have clam chowder, they have fish, they have oysters, all kinds of seafood. If you like seafood.
That makes sense. They're surrounded by water.
And there are some Chinese restaurants there. I hate to tell you that, but they are. And they have some pretty good seafood there, too. No? But sometimes I think we shouldn't always eat at Chinese restaurants when we're traveling. But you'll love the seafood at these restaurants. I know you will.
Mm.
And how do you usually get there?
Well, you can either go there by ferry or take your car on the ferry, or you can fly there, or you can just be a walk-on passenger on the ferry and then use the shuttle to get around the island once you're there.
You can take your own boat if you happen to have one.
That might be the best way.
But I've always been there on the Washington State Ferries, a picture that we see on page 13. And usually you drive your car. And your car's downstairs, and then you go sit upstairs and have some coffee and something to eat and watch the beautiful scenery as you go from that area. From Seattle, you can take a boat to the San Juans, or from Anacortes, you can go different places.
Mm. You may even see those whales we were talking about, the killer whales.
That's true.
Travels.
You might see them on the way. So whether you go from Anacortes or whether you go from Seattle, take a trip to the San Juan. Where are we going to start today?
Well, today we're going to start in looking at a farm, another kind of landmark on the island.
Right. We did talk about the mountains. We talked about Mount Constitution. And what other one?
Turtleback Mountain. Mm-hmm. And we also looked at Tip Top Mountain, mm-hmm, and Spiden Island and Yellow Island.
So when you look at today's article, it's going to start just below Turtleback Mountain, and there's a farm there, and it's a big farm, 185-acre farm. That's a pretty big farm, isn't it?
It is a pretty big farm.
I lived on a very small farm when I was growing up near Seattle, only 5 acres. That was quite small, but still we had a cow and chickens and you know, a pig. And if you can do quite a bit on 5 acres, too.
You can. Mm-hmm.
But 185 acres, that's a big farm.
Yeah, that would be a lot to look after.
Well, let's find out more about that as we read today on page 14.
Back on the road just below Turtleback, we pulled into Colfit Farm, another recently preserved Orcus treasure, a 185-acre Crow Valley farm. It's one of the more productive and complete farms on the island, Borman said. We just had a pig that had 11 babies, and we had 120 lambs this year, said farm worker Ruthie Doherty, who was at the counter of the farm's little shop, which that day offered everything from organic Purple Majesty potatoes and fresh rhubarb to socks made from the farm's wool. There's also a freezer full of meats, all from Colfit Farm. Pick up dinner fixings, take one of the farm's occasional workshops, such as beekeeping basics, or come for the summer farm tour.
Well, just think of that. We're going to see a farm. It's called the Colfit Farm. Evidently, that's the family that started it. And it's in one of the preserved Orcus treasure areas. Now, what is a preserved area?
That means it's protected, so it's preserved so that things can grow naturally. So it's neat to see that we have read about some nature preserves. It's neat to see that they're taking some of the land and also raising crops and animals on it.
Okay.
Yeah, we learned yesterday, actually, about how the conservationists have been purchasing land. And it seems here that this is another one of the treasures of Orcus Island that they're looking after. And it's a pretty big piece of property.
185 acres, and they call it the Crow Valley Farm. And it's a very productive and a complete farm. I think by complete, that means it has more than just cows on it, right?
Yeah, probably several kinds of animals and plants. So they're raising several different varieties of animals.
Right. What does it say here? They had what?
Well, we hear from a farm worker. Her name is Ruthie Doherty. And they just had a pig that had 11 babies.
11 babies. Wouldn't that be cute? 11 little babies.
Perhaps like this little picture we have up on the top
right.
there. And also they had 120 lambs this year.
I wonder if they were those black-faced lambs that we like.
They're so cute.
All the lambs are kind of sweet, though, aren't they?
They get really joyful and jump around. And
little lambs are so cute. In the spring, that's when you see the lambs. If you want to see baby lambs, whether you go to England or you go to the U.S. or even down there, at our springtime is when we have lambs. Mm. When is your spring?
We have springtime in around September, October.
If you miss the springtime in the States or in England, you have to go down under to Australia and New Zealand.
That's right. Yeah, so you can get both.
But isn't it fun to see the little lambs when they come out?
Yeah, they are very cute.
Right. Okay, so they have pigs and lambs, mm-hmm. and I'm sure there's wild rabbits running around, and deer, which are wild. They're not on the farm, but they do come in, don't they?
They do. They're
and sometimes in the morning, I remember when we were on a farm, and even now when I visit farms, you get up early in the morning, and there's the cows out in the pasture chewing the grass, and the deer will come and eat right alongside the cows. So mm-hmm. beautiful.
Yeah.
To see them together.
That would be a great picture.
Mm. You have to get up early, though, because it gets scared of the people. Well, it says something about this farm. It says this farm worker, she works at this little shop. What do they offer there?
Well, they offer some of the produce there. They offer organic Purple Majesty potatoes, fresh rhubarb, and other things.
Purple Majesty sounds kind of like a pretty impressive name for potato, if you ask me.
Yeah, is that like a type or a...
It's a brand, I guess.
A brand of potato.
Mm-hmm. And it's organic potato, okay?
Mm-hmm. So it's organic, so they're not spraying a lot of pesticides or chemicals on it. And they also have fresh rhubarb, and I have great memories of eating rhubarb pie as a boy. I don't know about you two.
I did. We always ate rhubarb cobbler, rhubarb pie.
Oh, yes.
Did you ever have that?
Yeah, my mom always had rhubarb in the garden.
Little ice cream or whipped cream on top doesn't hurt.
Oh, so good.
Rhubarb is a very purple color kind of thing. It looks a little bit like celery, but it's purple.
Right.
And it tastes different. If you've never had it, you don't know.
You do need to put sugar with it. Otherwise,
yeah,
it can
you do.
It
needs sugar on it, right? Mm. Mm. Hey, we're going to be hungry before we get to it. All right. And what else do they have? You can buy socks made from the farm's wool. Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds a lot like New Zealand. They have a lot of wool products on there, too.
We do. I think at one time the wool industry was one of the biggest. But, yeah, even today you can go to a farm like this and get socks. And it sounds like even in the winter you'd be well looked after here. You can not only get socks, but you can also get your meat. So this, like they said, it's a complete farm. You can get a little bit of everything here, your potato, your vegetables, fruit, wool, and also your meats as well.
A freezer full of all kinds of meats. Okay. So it sounds like it would be a place to see the animals, to buy some things to take home if you're fixing dinner for yourself. Probably if you're traveling, you might not want to buy all those frozen things. But
that's right.
There, you might,
you have to store them. It's interesting, too, this term fixings, Doris. Makes me think of side dishes like mashed potatoes and gravy or something. Mm. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and then mushrooms. You have a lot of good mushrooms and things there, too.
And you mentioned earlier, too, that they have berries.
So many berries, yeah. Mm. Raspberries and cranberries and blackberries and huckleberries. The bears like the huckleberries. Mm. You don't do much with it. Have you ever had a huckleberry?
Not that I remember.
They're a little tiny red berry, and we don't really do much with them, but we just eat them when we're hiking along the trails and stuff, and the bears love to eat them.
Do they taste like raspberries?
No, they don't. They're sort of, I don't know what they taste like. They taste, they're orange color, and they have a lot of flavor to them, but they're a berry. I like the blackberries better. But there's a lot of different things. But pick up dinner fixings. So that's like you said, you could get the potatoes and the vegetables that you wanted to. Mm. And you could also go there and have an occasional workshops. That's interesting. This farm has workshops.
I think they'll be very interesting for the people that are coming, the tourists coming. Perhaps they want to know how to grow things organically or how to cook these foods or how to make these socks. Then they have these workshops that people can go to.
Well, they must even have beehives there because they have workshops on beekeeping basics. Mm.
That's right. So on this 185 acres, they have room for bees and they have hives and they can teach you how to keep the honeybees, maybe get the honey from them. So that would be a nice skill to learn.
Well, there's some interesting things about honey. Everybody thinks honey is just honey, but it's not. There's a lot of different kinds of honey, aren't there?
There are a lot of different kinds, and it is a very good health benefit for us, especially there are many things inside of it that can help keep us very healthy.
Propolis, because that's something that the bees at the beehive, that they go through there and they clean their feet off and it gets everything clean. They go in there and they won't take any disease in there. So if we eat propolis, we won't let disease in our body. So we can learn a lot from the bees. They have a lot of that in New Zealand and Australia.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, honey tastes different if it's from honey clover. It depends on what the bees eat,
right,
the flavor of the honey.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. The local honey here tastes very different to me.
Mm-hmm. It really is different. So you can find out more about that, or you can come for a summer farm tour. I think kids would love that.
They would, especially with these little pigs.
And lambs. Oh, yeah. Wouldn't that be cute? And take pictures with them. And right. Well, down in New Zealand, Australia, you have the little koala bears and things. We don't have those. But you could have little pigs and bunnies. Maybe a couple of rabbits. Who knows?
You never know. They might let you pet them.
The cows. You could get on a horse, take a picture on a horse.
There you go.
Right. So it would be kind of fun to go there if you want to stop by this farm. Don't you think that all kids need to visit farms at some time or another?
They need to experience nature in person, I think. I agree with you.
Not just read about it in books. You know, they see pictures of it. They need to touch the animals and feel them and not be afraid of them.
But it needs to come alive for them.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
So treat your kids, right. Take your kids to some kind of farm someplace.
Right.
We have them every place, but I mean, this sounds like one good place.
Mm-hmm.
There's farms all over the world you could go to. But that's one of the things that you should do, so plan to do that. And if you don't have the kids with you, you still might want to stop off at one of the farms for maybe even have a meal there. They probably have a little restaurant. I wouldn't be surprised.
Right. They may have some really good chefs there, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's read on.
the island's art scene. Orcas has a sophisticated population of retirees, and the arts are a big part of island life. Galleries are easy to find in East Sound, and Orcas Island Artworks in Olga is a good reason to drive across the island to see the output of local visual artists and craftspeople. Residents and visitors alike can also enjoy artwork, dance, and theater at Orcas Center, a publicly funded cultural center. Or if you prefer no-cost entertainment that's been an Orcas Island staple for years, head to Rosario Resort, where manager Christopher Peacock sets the Moran Mansion's foundation shaking with his gleeful renditions of Phantom of the Opera themes on the mansion's 1,972-pipe Aeolian organ. The optimum season. Visit Orcas in autumn and end your day with a thrill ride. Have a friend drive you to the top of Mount Constitution, then mountain bike all the way down on trails that are open to bikers September 15th to May 15th. If you accidentally veer into a patch of nettles, get revenge. Go for pizza.
When you think about Orcas Island, and we talked about, you know, the farms and the different things, you don't think about having sophisticated population of people there. You think about kind of farmers or country people. But who are these sophisticated people?
Well, they say that they are retirees, people who have retired. And oftentimes people who have retired, they have a profession behind them. Possibly they're wanting to go into farming, organic farming. They're very smart and refined. And so that's where the sophisticated part comes from.
Well, some people, you know, they're tired of the big business and all that kind of thing that goes with it. They just want to go out to some nice country area. And they like a place where there are art galleries and some cultural things and things going on. And the arts are a big part of the island life there. In fact, artists like to go there. Artists love to go up there and paint. And photographers love to go there and take pictures. One thing about these islands is the way they're situated out on the coast there, they have much less rain than you usually get in the Seattle areas. In Seattle, because of the mountains being very close and the mountains dump the rain down on the city, but they're out just a little bit from that, and they don't have as much rain, but they have all the beauty that goes with that. Mm-hmm. So you'll find that artists love to go to places like that and paint and, you know, retire there.
Sure, there's a lot of inspiration there, like you said, Doris, in the scenery. And it must attract a certain kind of person, people that are retired. There's probably not a huge amount of jobs there, but there are quite a few galleries.
Mm-hmm. You can find them in East Sound, that little town, and Orcas Island Artworks in Olga. Olga is certainly a very Norwegian name. There's a lot of Scandinavians in the West Coast. And it's a good reason to drive across the island to see the output of local visual arts and artists and craftspeople. So a lot of people like to go there and get together with artists and share things. I think it would be a nice place for artsy people to go, don't you?
It definitely would. So the output must be a lot of paintings and crafts, maybe some pottery. It'd be neat to see the variety of things they create there.
Maybe they have sculptors as well. And I think, like you said earlier, perhaps they've captured the environment, you know, whether through photography or through painting. And so this is a great way for people to do that. And obviously it must be pretty impressive for people to want to travel across the island to capture that.
That's true. In fact, the residents, the people that live there, and the visitors, they not only enjoy this artwork, but there's dance and theater at the Orcas Center, because people like to see something. Of course, nature is beautiful, but they still want to go see some artistic dancing and shows and things like that. But they do have things like that. They have the Orcas Center. It's a publicly funded cultural center. So they have all kinds of things, from the Indian culture to other types of culture, art and nature, and even European culture. They have all kinds of cultural shows there. That would be fun, too.
And a great way to spend your evening, you know, after maybe a nice day of hiking or looking around the island, then to go and spend the evening watching a drama or some theater, I think would be a lovely way to finish your day.
It would be, though. But what if you prefer this no-cost entertainment that's been the staple for years? Now, when we talk about the staple, that means the main thing. Like some people have rice as their staple food, and some have bread as their staple, your main thing that you use. Then you can go to the Rosario Resort. That is a very well-known place. Anybody that's been around in that area say, oh, yeah, that's a place to go, Rosario
right.
Resort.
Mm-hmm.
What that's can you
right.
find there?
Well, you can find no-cost or free entertainment such as Christopher Peacock's renditions.
What a name, Peacock. It's a man's name?
That is his name, and it seems quite appropriate, you know, peacocks in this natural, lovely environment.
Mm-hmm.
So he's in the right place, and apparently he knows how to play the pipe organ.
Right.
This is a special pipe organ, right, Amanda?
That's right. It's set in the Morin Mansion. And it says that he sets the Morin Mansion's foundation shaking when we describe how he plays the organ with his gleeful rendition of Phantom of the Opera.
The themes from that, as all of you know, that's very dramatic music. And this mansion is just a huge, huge, big place. And they have this 1,972 pipe organ. That's how many pipes are in that. That is a big pipe organ, isn't
That's
it?
That's huge.
And it's a special kind. It's an aeolian. That looks like a Greek word to me.
Yeah, it is, actually. Aeolian means from a specific area of Greece, and so maybe this organ was made or type of organ from that area of Greece. And we see that. You said it's a huge organ and a huge mansion, but he sets the foundation shaking when he plays this organ, so that must be very majestic.
And it says it doesn't cost anything, so just go there and listen in. It's part of the resort thing, and you can meet other people there and probably find friends from all over the world.
It'd be very interesting to see who you would meet there.
Mm-hmm. Doris, do you think staying at the Rosario Resort would also be no cost?
I think it's a little more costly to stay there. If you want to know what it costs, you've got to check their website. However, a lot of people do like to go, and they have their bargain days and their special prices, too. So it isn't as bad as you might think compared to hotels in Tokyo and Shanghai. Why, it's probably cheap.
That's sure. That's for sure.
So, but what is the optimum season? What is the very best time to go there?
Well, it says you can visit Orcus in autumn and end your day with a thrill ride. So the best time or the best season to go would be during autumn or the fall.
I kind of like to go in the spring when the lambs are there. What about you?
Fall sounds good to me. If it is like the fall in other parts of America where the leaves are changing, then
That's
I would like
true,
it.
Yeah.
Mm. I agree with you, Doris. I would go in
the spring. And the flowers are just coming out and
yeah.
the... You know, and the lambs are running, little baby lambs. But, you know, whenever you can, go there in the summer. It's nice in the summer. It's not too hot. It's just right.
Right.
Yeah. But what else could you do?
Well, you could have a friend drive you to the top of Mount Constitution and then mountain bike all the way down on trails that are open to bikers. And that's in a specific time or season, September 15th to May 15th. So if you are... if you enjoy thrill rides or exciting rides, then maybe mountain biking is something you'd like to do.
Well, this last sentence is kind of funny because this article is still trying to get the nettles to get you because the nettles sting. What do they say about the nettles?
Well, they say if you accidentally veer into or walk into a patch of nettles, which could sting you, get revenge and go for pizza. So that's
you could
kinda,
say, okay, nettles, wow. You're going to get cut down and you're going to become part of my pizza and I'm going to eat you.
That's
yeah,
right.
I just like to dump them in the ocean myself. I don't care about eating them. What about you?
Yeah, well, you might want to get revenge if they sting your legs and your arms.
Yeah,
well,
I'm going to go for clam chowder. Forget the nettles, right?
That's right. I think I'd go for those organic purple majesty potatoes.
Well, it's been fun talking about this place. I hope some of you will at least look it up on the web and check out some of the videos and some of the places. But maybe some of you will go there. And if you do, let us know about it so we can put it on our Studio Classroom Facebook page. Wouldn't that be fun? Mm.
That'd be great. Put it on Facebook or tell us about it on English Corner or somewhere else at letters@studioclassroom.com. Let us know.
Good. And we do have a skit in closing now, but it's been very nice to talk about this place. And we'll try to not get too homesick, but we hope you visit there sometime. I'd like to take you sometime.
Thank you, Doris. Yeah.
Hello. Does this boat go to Orcus Island?
Arr, the rusty bucket does make a stop at Orcus Island.
So when are you scheduled to depart?
We leave when I say we leave, miss. Old Salty here just kind of meanders around the San Juan Islands. I go wherever I need to go, whenever I want to go.
Well, the optimum time for me is in about an hour. You said your name is Old Salty?
Aye, matey. I've been sailing this archipelago for 50 years. I know every inch of these islands. Arr! What's your name, lass?
My name is Megan. Megan Miller. I'm from West Virginia, and this is my first time in this part of the country. I'm just smitten with the natural beauty.
Well, it's certainly a pristine place, Megan Miller. But there's dangers in them waters.
Danger? Oh, no!
Arr! Sharks, killer whales, giant squids, even jellyfish ready to sting you.
Oh, Mr. Salty, is it safe to go to Orcas Island? I've traveled so far, and this was supposed to be the crowning glory of my long journey.
I'll do my best to make sure that you make it to Orcas Island safely. We just need to follow the beacons that are on each of the islands. They will guide us along.
So, can we leave in an hour?
Arr, for you, young lady. I'll set sail in an hour for Orcas Island.
Wonderful. I need to go and buy some things at the store. So, I'll be back here in an hour. Do you need anything, Old Salty?
I have the sea breeze and the salt in the air. I have everything I need.
Wow, you're so down to earth.
Arr.
It's been great having you with us, and we hope you've enjoyed the lesson, and we hope you'll be back for the next class.
That's right.
We hope to see you all again soon.
Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye. Goodbye.